part of it. Romans 8. Romans gives us what's often been spoken of as the foundation of Christianity. It's the subject of righteousness. That's God's own character, you know, righteousness. God is righteous. The righteous Lord loveth righteousness. So, we have the subject of righteousness in Romans. But when we come to the 8th chapter, we have that which has to do with the subject of deliverance. And that's what we're going to think of a little bit this evening. Now, I know that we've said Romans is the foundation epistle. But many of us haven't gotten very far into the foundation. And there are many things in Romans that seem to be a puzzle to some. So as we read this and comment on it, we're going to go back a little here and there and make some connections, because it's a big subject. And it'll take the evening to cover it all. But we're going to see if we can't get a little outline tonight on the subject of deliverance. And this chapter, by the way, takes in deliverance not only for the individual, but for the whole creation. We won't get to speak of that all tonight, but more for the deliverance of the individual and the new position that he is in through Christ. So we'll read in the Romans 8 to the 19th verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now the rest of that verse belongs in the fourth verse. You'll see it repeated in the fourth verse at the end. It really doesn't belong. It's not in the original in the first verse. I'll read it again. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. and of children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The subject of guilt, and we're all guilty, is taken up in the first five chapters of Romans, the 11th verse. And that's what we have done. That's what we would have to answer for at the great white throne if the Lord Jesus had not come to save us, what we had done. And so we discover in the third of Romans that the Lord Jesus did come as the Redeemer. And he made provision for us so that simply by believing we have eternal life. So those who believe have eternal life. It's just that simple. So putting your trust in the Savior, you have eternal life. Now, starting with the 12th verse of the 5th chapter, you have a new subject. It's a subject of deliverance. And it has three parts. We're not going to go into it except to refer to it tonight and go on with our chapter. The first three verses of chapter 8 give us the substance of what's in chapter 5, 6, and 7. The first verse gives us the substance of what's in chapter 5. In chapter 5, it's a question of whether you're in Adam or in Christ. It isn't what you've done now. It's where you are. Where are you? Are you in Christ or are you in Adam? And now in Adam, all die. In Christ, shall all be made alive. If you are associated with Christ in faith, not merely profession, but faith. If you are associated with Christ, then in Christ shall all be made alive. That is, there are those who are being laid away day by day in the grave. But there's hope for everyone who has put their trust in Christ. And there's a day of resurrection coming. What a blessed day that is for the believer. And so in Adam, all die. Are you in Adam? Now you're in Adam if you've never received Christ as your Savior. That's where you are, in Adam. You're just a natural man in Adam. You may know all about Scripture. You may know a great deal about this world. You may have a great deal of intelligence. If you haven't owned yourself a guilty sinner before God and received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're still in Adam. Adam all died. And Christ shall all be made alive. Well, that's very simple, isn't it? Faith. So the question tonight is, where are you? Are you in Adam or are you in Christ? Now that's the first verse of the chapter we read. There is, therefore, now no condemnation, no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that precious? Now, if you believe that, you have eternal life, and the enemy may bring all kinds of doubts to you, but you say, well, here it is, right on the pages of Scripture. I believe it. So I have eternal life, God said so. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, in the gulf between England and the mainland, the sea, I should say, between huge rock of limestone. And in that rock, there are little caverns that have been made by the waves, I suppose, in the past days, the wind, maybe. And when the storms come, the birds fly into these little caverns and they're safe. What a beautiful picture of the believer in Christ, the rock. The waves can't touch that rock. They're safe in that rock. And that's where the believer is. He's in Christ. He's safe in Christ. Unless you say to Adam. The end of Adam's race will soon be seen. There won't be one remaining of Adam's race. When the Lord Jesus became man, he started an entirely new race, still man. That's what first fruits means. He's the first fruits of a new creation, but still man. He's born of woman. So he belongs to man's race. We find that the old race is condemned. All those who are in Christ belong to the new order of things that will last forever. He's the head of that new race. There is no condemnation. Now, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Plain, simple statement. You believe it? Now, dear friends, you get joy and peace in believing, not understanding. Understanding follows believing. But you get joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Ghost. And so the part for man is simply to believe what God says, and he gets joy and peace in his soul. And nothing can disturb it if he simply trusts in the Word of God. But now when you come to the sixth chapter, it's a question not of being either in Adam or Christ, but it's a question of deliverance from the power of sin. Read the 14th verse of the 6th chapter. That's the key verse in that chapter. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. The law says, thou shalt and thou shalt not. The grace of God comes bringing salvation. What a difference. Bringing salvation. Not demanding something, but bringing salvation. You realize that that's where you stand tonight? Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. If you read the chapter carefully in your spare time, you'll see the word dominion, kingdom, servants, all words that have to do with the subject of what this verse sets forth. Dominion over you. Sin shall not have dominion over you. That's for the believer. Because the moment you take Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have a new life. But you never had before. You don't get it by doing this or that. You get it because you believe. Entirely new life. And it's a kind of life that is eternal in its character and cannot be changed. The moment you receive it, it's forever. It cannot be changed. It cannot be taken from you. Can't give it up. It's eternal. Because it's the very life of Christ himself that you receive. Very same life. As Christ is a man. Now that's the second verse of our 8th chapter. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free, which is it, the power of sin. A new spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, has made me free. Otherwise, sin would have power over me. But there's a new spirit of life because I am in Christ. Not because I have mended my ways, because I've done this or that, but because I'm in Christ. I simply have believed, that's all. You know, the natural man always looks inward, but the new man looks upward. He looks at Christ, and that's his position. If you're looking inward, you'll never be happy. You'll always be miserable. For the law, now, you'll get the word law in the next verse, too, and so I'm going to read this a little differently, because I don't want you to think of it as being the law of Moses. I'll read it this way. For the principle of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the principle of sin and death. There's a principle of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that has set me free from the principle of sin and death. Spirit of life, contrast to sin and death. If I were in Adam tonight, I'd be under sin and death. But I'm not. I'm in Christ. So there's a new principle of life that I have. I believe it. God says it. I'm going to turn you to an Old Testament passage.